But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and I think most of us are back here. I know myself, my co-host Alec Medford is here.
I'm here.
Kevin Hagland is also here.
Who's that?
And things are different right now for Kevin, but also similar to the same.
I've seen a lot of people already say I sound like Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Okay, yeah, somebody, hey, please don't ban Coke Zero is what they threw out there since you're
on the show. I promise.
Amen.
I will not.
I will say this, he sounds shakier than you. And I'm going to be very honest. I have no clue what his condition is or anything like that. I'm just going off the simple, like, physical sound of it is shakier than what you're doing right now.
And I have sinus infection, bronchitis, and laryngitis.
All right, so deal
but
with
it. But I needed to come back, and so far, it's not going super well.
How many days in total have you missed, including paid days of vacation? Is this 2 straight weeks?
Yes. This is the longest I've been off, I think, in 18 years is what I determined. Now, one of those was vacation, which, ironically enough, I could talk that week.
During the week of vacation.
But then the week when I was supposed to work, my voice crapped out. This is the best it sounded, by the way, in the last 10 days.
Yeah. So last Friday when Kevin was supposed to be at Buffalo Wild Wings and you got instead and Alec Medford, then it was because Kevin still couldn't talk. And so we're kind of still going through that a little bit. So help us out, Tolo's out there. Send some encouraging messages to Kevin.
Not all your stupid, I haven't heard you since last year messages, though.
I think we should have more of those messages because, Kevin, it is true. It has been since last year that most of the Tolos have heard you. So that's a nice thing.
Okay, and I will tell you, I do have another doctor's appointment set up after the show today. And then specialists with ear, nose, and throat, I have 2 of those scheduled.
Oh, wow.
In ensuing weeks.
Okay. And I will also, now that, because of Friday, Alec, I appreciate you giving me the C block to be able to talk about what I was dealing with. Since then, no new news on my situation.
They're taking away your gallbladder?
They're taking my blood. They're taking everything. And they're like, hey, we could guess that it could be one of these 6 things. So that's where we still stand at this point, but I do feel a little bit better. So we're going to be rocking. We're a show that's not 100%, but we got Alec Medford, so I think we'll make it, man.
I just got a text from somebody I really, really like and said, you sound terrible, mate.
Nice. Nice. So they're British.
I don't think they are, though.
Oh, so it's Ian downstairs that's texting you.
Oh, yeah. He's been around here. Didn't he train at this on this floor with y'all? With y'all?
He did some night shows here that for a while. Amazing. Now he's back on 103.7. Yeah.
That is amazing. All right. Now, if you want to go ahead and dive into the real sports conversations, or we could just do this for the rest of the day. Doesn't matter to me. I'm totally prepared to take a load off for the entire day until Kevin gets back and gets better.
So many loads.
I mean, do you remember how many loads off we took on Friday, Alec? It was so much fun.
I lost track after the 10 o'clock hour, man.
The Cowboys put the miserable regular season to bed. We'll start the first question of, did you watch? Did you care? Did you listen at all? And Kevin, I watched every second of this game.
I did too.
Here's what I told you earlier. I am at a point now where I am a football fan. I'm very excited about these NFL playoffs. I'm very excited about the matchups we have in the playoffs. And as far as being a Cowboys fan, that's over for me now. But I wanted to get, you know, whatever was left of it. I wanted to get whatever was left of the Cowboys season and see it. I was intrigued that Trey Lance was going to be starting. Alec, Mickey told us, and Mickey should be joining us here at 10:20 or 10:40. I haven't got a confirmation there yet. But he told us, hey, I would expect Will Greer as the backup. And once I saw that they signed him, I was like, oh, that makes sense. He's going to be the backup. Trey Lance is starting. Made complete sense. So we got to see a Trey Lance version. He still needs more reps in the NFL to be able to be a good quarterback. There are things that are nice and a lot of other things that are still problematic. But I did care about this game. I felt like I needed to watch it to wrap this season up and have a good understanding of where I felt about McCarthy and this team.
Cared how? Did you care that you wanted the team to win or lose?
No, I didn't want either thing, honestly. I didn't care how the outcome was. Did not care about the outcome until the end when I felt like, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and take out these Washington Commanders. So it was the end of the game, Kevin, when I was like,
see that.
Don't let them score. Terry McLaurin, my fantasy team, I could use that. So I was okay with it because it's Terry McLaurin.
Was there still fantasy stuff happening this weekend?
Yeah, and it's stupid if your fantasy league does it. I have one fantasy league that's me and my friends, and I've been voting for probably 6 years now to not do it on the last week of the season because you end up having the championship game for all the money, the thousands and thousands of dollars that you're betting here. You're having to go and scramble to put together a roster. Because everybody's sitting out, so it's awful
and not really representative of the rest of the season.
No,
all you had to do was start Joe Milton, you would have been fine.
Joe Milton and Damian Pierce, from the Texans, you would have been all right there.
Everybody you expected to go off in Week 18, right?
Yeah.
This is a side question. I think Mike would be proud of me for this question. Do they still give out the steroid shots to help you out? Because when I went to the doctor last week, they gave me a bunch of pills, and I don't really feel like those did a great job.
Can you not take pills still?
I can.
Okay. There was a time, Alec, when Kevin and I worked at a newspaper together, and I had a gigantic jar of vitamin C. And if Kevin ever felt ill, I would be like, would you like a vitamin C? And he's like, is it chewable? And I was like, are you a four-year-old? And he was like, well... And so he would never take it. But now you can swallow pills. It's awesome.
It came down to dollars and cents because one of my medications, well, you know what? We're sharing everything. Who knows if I'm going to be on again this week. I have a medicine that I take for depression and obsessive compulsive disorder. So it got to the point where they were like, hey, we can keep giving you the liquid form. It's going to be $40 a month. Or you could, I felt it implied, be a grown-up, take the pills, $4 a month. And I was like, you know what? That's a lot of damn money. That's like $400 difference for the entire year. I will figure this out. Go ahead and give me the pills.
$420.
Mm.
I don't think that is correct. I think it's $432. But the point is, that's a lot of money. And so I was like, I'll figure it out.
Mm, okay.
Isn't it amazing how expensive convenience is nowadays?
Oh, God.
Like, because I would much rather take like the chewables and the liquid forms. I can do pills. That's fine. That sounded weird. But I can handle those. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like it's more convenient. Like the little melatonin gummies. It's like, why would I take a little like dusty pill when I can take a gummy that tastes like a fruit snack?
Yes. Fruit snacks are amazing.
I think these doctors got too cocky with me because one of the pills they gave me, it was like you had to break it in half to even make it reasonable.
It was a horse pill.
It was. Like, how does somebody swallow? Well, never mind.
You just
I'll finish that.
More nope. water. More
nope.
water, Kevin.
I need more water.
From the 903, yes, the shots work a lot quicker. From the 806, I also can't take pills. Thank God it's not just a me thing. Well, it is because Kevin can take pills now. So now it is just you, I think, at this point.
I feel bad to abandon that person. I
Come to our side.
I did it strictly for monetary purposes. I was like, I got to change.
What is Kevin motivated by? Cash.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
So the Trey Lance effort that you saw Alec out there. What was your feeling when you got to see him out there? Because there's still inaccuracy when throwing. He should have had a touchdown in the end zone. Short armed it. Didn't have a good one there.
Did you like the effort by Dowdle on that play though?
Yes, I honestly did. He did everything he could to try to get to the ball, and it just wasn't there for him. The offense itself stalled consistently. I'm not going to blame him for the offense stalling in the red zone because it was continually, is it Jake Ferguson? Is it Tyler Guyton? Which one of these guys is going to fall start or hold? Something was going to happen around there, but it did continue to stall. So there's something, I don't know if it's about Mike McCarthy's offense specifically or the lack of focus and discipline there, but that's the big factor for me. But Trey Lance, he looked like a guy that is not an NFL quality quarterback.
Yeah, and it hit me quick whenever you saw some of the inaccuracies just generally where a ball would sail on him, it would get away from him. And then you got that nugget that Jane Slater put out before the game where she mentioned, you know, compare some of the other young quarterbacks around his age in the NFL, the amount of attempts that they've had between their current NFL careers and college combined. Bo Nix has like 2,500 at this point. Jaden Daniels around 2,000. Going into yesterday's game, Trey Lance had 427 attempts in the pros and college combined.
Yeah.
Like that, he has not thrown the football a lot in a competitive manner, and it definitely looks that way. You see the traits that made sense, but you just generally see inexperience.
I saw the traits that if the American football field was 5 yards or so wider on each side, Trey Lance would be a menace to this league.
When he tries to throw downfield and on the sideline, it's just, he's not there.
He misses it every time.
And he's on the run, that's something you're like, okay, I like seeing you on the run doing that. And I feel like I agree with you. Either make the field wider or become a better quarterback. Get more opportunities doing that. I'm going to say that the only real option, Kevin, is to go ahead and give him more opportunities. Actually, maybe not at this point. Maybe not. But I don't think he's coming back as a Cowboy. That's what I saw as I see them going, that was enough for us.
The timing of all of this makes no sense to me because I know some people think the Cowboys did this to get out of the bonus to Cooper Rush. I don't know that. We can ask Steven that. Jerry said, I'm not even familiar with that. But like, what were you going to learn in this game? So let's say he goes, what was it, Jerry Flynn? Who's the, I might be a wrestler actually. Who's the quarterback who had one good game and they're like, I'm going to give you all of money. I know Osweiler did it too.
Pretty much.
But what were you?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What were you going to see? Let's say you won this game 35-10 and Trey Lance threw 4 touchdown passes. Were you going to give him all the backup money because of that game?
You know, I probably would have felt a little more comfortable replacing Cooper Rush.
Okay.
Like saying, okay, Cooper, we understand what we have with you. The reality of the team not being good really doesn't give you a good understanding of whether or not Cooper Rush is the best guy, the best fit for if you have something breakdown on Dak next year. and you're in that, like, we, the team's rolling right now, we can't miss it, is Cooper Rush. I still think he's the
Matt
guy.
Flynn.
Matt Flynn. Did you say Joe Flynn?
I said Jerry Flynn. That is definitely a prelim wrestler from WCW.
You're just focused on getting home to Netflix tonight. That's it.
But I'm totally in the boat of looking at what you saw and saying, okay, you can go out and find whatever contract you'd like with any other team out there. And if you don't come back here, well, that's what it was.
Do you just say that to Lance? Do you say that to both of them?
Well, I mean, you're going to have a backup.
What?
So I would probably just say that to Lance, and nobody's going to want Cooper Rush.
I don't know about that. I'm not saying to be their starter.
He missed a season, Kevin, and then came back to the Cowboys. Like, nobody wants him. Otherwise, he would be somewhere else. I don't know. Did the Cowboys just say, hey, here's all the money we have to pay you?
I'm just curious what that number is. Like, if another team says, hey, we will give you $4.5 million to be our backup. I mean, that's more than the Cowboys want to pay. That's more than he's been making. But for him, that's like 2 to 3 times what he usually makes in a season. Hell yeah, I'll take that money.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's him, then yeah, he would. I just don't see any other team saying that they feel like they need him that much.
Okay.
I think he's more valuable to the Cowboys.
Okay.
Than he is to other teams out there. But that's just, I don't know, maybe other people out there disagree with me on that. I mean, somebody did point out Sam Darnold, you know? Look at him.
I mean,
Cooper Rush, Sam Darnold, same guy, kind of. That's a joke.
And what do you mean by that, Corey?
And I get it.
Sturdy.
Now that Sam Darnold's hitting, like, what in the buildup to that led you to believe he's about to go off? Mm-hmm. Like, if Trey Lance goes somewhere else and dominates, I'll be like, fine. There's no way I thought that was going to happen.
From the 940, did y'all not watch the game? Lance was nailing his throws in the first half, hitting those crossing receivers. I watched the rest of it, too. Not just the first 15 plays where he was throwing the same passes that he worked on all week to set up for it. That was something that, like, he understood and knew, and those receivers were wide open. When it came to crunch time, when it came to big moments of, hey, now you actually have to make a big-time play for this
or sideline work.
Yeah, he wasn't able to do it. So, yes, those crossing patterns, those were great. Those were receivers that, again, they got open because of the routes. I saw all that. Now, if you're joking, if they're being sarcastic about that, I'm joking with you. I get it.
If your takeaway from that game was he's ready to go, okay. We did watch a different game.
He could be a steal for somebody. Like, if they want to invest in him and really work with him, he definitely could be a steal, because I don't think the value of it is there very much. The rest of the game, Jalen Tolbert finally opened up a little bit. And we kind of been waiting for that. Jake Ferguson, Kevin, I don't know, man. This year for Jake Ferguson,
it's been rough.
False starts, just lack of focus, just moments where I'm like, that's not what we expect out of you. And that screwed a lot of things up this year.
This might be a conversation for another day, but are Jake Ferguson and Tyler Guyton, like, they both got to be pretty high on your list of biggest disappointment seasons, right?
Yes. Well,
I'm not saying they have to be 1-2. But
Ferguson biggest. Okay. Guyton, I'll say he's behind Dak, because Dak's a disappointment with the injury and everything. But I knew that Tyler Guyton had all these other things. Well, we talked about that Friday with Alec. He has all these other qualities that you're kind of like waiting to see him grow into. Here's something that I heard Brad Sham and Broadus and Zach Wolchuk in the post-game show yesterday were kind of discussing, in the line of, next year they're not young players anymore. They're just players. And that's that sign of, Jerry talked about this all season long, is, hey, we intentionally went young. We intentionally went with it, less experience. But next year, we're going to get the benefit from it. And that is going to be the point. If next year, the expectation is, when Cooper Beebe lines up, he's a veteran at this point, a second-year starter. Next year, when Tyler Guyton gets out there, those stupid mistakes can't happen anymore. Yeah. So that is where you kind of look at it and go, yeah, it was this, but the experience they got, hopefully they learn from that experience, they use it, and they go rock with it. Otherwise, it could be a very bad situation. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it could be Mickey Spagnuolo. It could be NFL's Black Monday. Who's staying? Who's already out? We'll go into it next on The Fan.
May has now gone over 200 yards passing, 16 of 23 for 204. May to sling it again. Step and throw. Intercepted. In the end zone. Cam Lewis.
That is Drake May right there. Intercepted. His coach fired last night. And he's probably going to get a request to be interviewed by the Jets. As it sound, if you haven't gotten your request yet, just check your junk email box. You may have gotten a request from the Jets to interview for the head coaching job.
I got mine 2 days ago. Had to put it off because of the voice issues.
Okay, you didn't know if you could actually.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's that looks like an opportunity there. Now, everybody's this morning, it's like Bobby Slowick. They've requested him. Every single person that you can think of.
You could have just said Rex Ryan. Yes. And that's when I knew they were like, whatever.
Anybody. Well, and I guess that is a reality. I didn't ask this to Jerry last week, Alec, but I kind of wanted to. And that was, do you even want to do a coaching search? I did see Tim Kalashaw's column, and it was, does he even know how to do one? And I was like, oh, man, that's interesting. The Jets, I don't know that they're doing it the right way because they haven't done it the right way for, you know, 80 years, it feels like.
Right.
But they're asking for everybody. Now, the question is, when they sit down and have conversations with these people, do they know what answers they're actually looking for? And that's what when in times, Kevin, when we talked to Frank Provenzano,
yes,
a lot of times, because he was the assistant GM for the Stars, he would ask the questions and he knew what he wanted to hear from them. And if it wasn't in that line of something, then they weren't the right candidate.
Okay, let me ask both of you guys this in terms of questions and getting the answers you want. If you go to a doctor who won't give you a steroid shot,
mm-hmm.
do you think I'll get flagged or anything if I'm like, hey, do you know a doctor that will give me a steroid shot? Like, is that going to get me in some sort of trouble?
I would say no. I don't think, because I mean, you're probably going to want to ask a different doctor for that recommendation, I'm going to say, just sure. as a suggestion. But he probably knows somebody. He's okay. probably like, you know what? I know so-and-so at this clinic over here.
Okay.
Go in there, ask for the fruit platter, and he'll know what you're looking for. You know, that's probably an opportunity there.
My wife is convinced there's a vacuum repair shop that's been on Broadway, like, ever since I can remember. She is convinced it's like a Breaking Bad, get you out of town scenario, because she's like, there are no way that many people need their vacuum cleaner fixed.
I saw it in an episode of Bosch, Kevin. I've seen this before. Actually, it was pretty much like a third season of Bosch was a behind-the-scenes place for drugs. So it's out there.
So Gerard Mayo fired. Y'all's basic thoughts about firing a coach after one year.
I hate it.
Unless they like screw around with some girl in a video that gets caught by everyone and then Mike calls you Fingers Magoo.
Yeah. I definitely hate it because why did you hire the guy? And it feels like if...
And maybe push Belichick out to make it happen.
It feels like if Vrabel is the future candidate there, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Dude, you know, has been a head coach already, has a history with that team. It makes a lot of sense. So you gave... What's it that Jesse Holly always used to say? You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
Yeah.
You want to be the guy
the
after
legend.
The guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Belichick was the legend. And Mayo had to come in and replace the legend. And now it's like, okay, we had the buffer year where we knew he was going to have to deal with a crap roster.
Yep.
We knew he was going to have to deal with the growing pains of a quarterback that's very young.
Yep.
We knew all these things. And we can just say he's the reason and move on from him because he did call his team soft at one point. So
he wrong?
I don't think he was wrong, but a lot of people take offense to that. Maybe it should motivate him instead. But he did do some things that they're like, we can justify this, and you also didn't win. Let's go get a better candidate for this.
Okay, you said a better candidate. I want to ask both of you guys, was this move made specifically because they heard that Mike Vrabel was available and interested, and they were like, we want him, let's move?
Was he not available and interested last year? I don't know the timing
of
all this last year. I just feel like last year they could have gotten him then, but maybe he just needed to have that step
away. I think they thought Mayo was the guy.
Yeah, I think they legitimately did. And Vrabel, by all accounts that we had seen, had Harbaugh not taken the Chargers job, he was next in line. They said he aced that interview, but they got their dude. It feels kind of like the same situation that happened in New England. They thought they had their dude. And in this case, in, you know, short sample size there for the Chargers, it looks like they were right. But for New England, it seemed like that was Belichick's, you know, next to the throne. Like, everybody in New England seemed like they really liked him and they really wanted this guy to succeed. But like you were saying, Corey, I think he just rubbed some people the wrong way. And that's ultimately what was his downfall. And they looked at what was available and said, hey, a guy that loves this organization, a guy that's played for us, a guy that has skins on the wall, we have a viable replacement because, you know, like Jerry told us last week, that doesn't really matter, but other teams know that it matters.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, huh, Kraft and Elliot Wolf, the de facto GM out there, they're like, we've got a dude sitting right in front of us. Do we want to keep this when the locker room doesn't really mess with them? Do we want to get a true leader?
Yeah, that's where they land with that.
Now, the next one up on the chopping block, not surprising. Feel like this has been
surprised it took
done
this long.
For 2 months. Doug Peterson out with Jacksonville. The interesting note about that is Trent Baalke, their GM, is staying. And Mr. Kahn specifically said, we're going to get with Baalke and figure out who the best candidate is. So they're like, no, he gets to stay somehow, but Doug Peterson is fired.
This is one of those situations where the warning is there. You don't want this job. It's bad. It's a bad job. They can't get anything right in Jacksonville. And I don't. And it's what's weird about it is, what does everybody blame the Cowboys' failures on? Jerry Jones, yep. And his meddling.
Yep.
Which does also does seem that Jerry Jones has in the recent years done less meddling than we've ever seen him do. Although this year was one of those where they went a certain direction and he's catching all the flack for it. But I don't know. Does Shad Khan get a lot of, hey, you meddle too much in the business? Or do they just not have enough discipline in that building? Because they can't keep, they literally can't keep a coaching staff together. They're turning that thing over constantly. You don't want the opportunity because they're going to lose patience with that thing immediately, and they don't have the talent on that field to even compete the way that they want.
Yeah, but the guy they're keeping to help make the next decision
is in charge of getting the talent.
I saw you shake your head, Alec. Yeah, I don't. You're far from alone. A lot of people are like, how the hell did Baalke keep his job?
He's got to know where the bodies are hidden or something at this point, because he was hired to be their director of personnel back in 2020. Since then, they've gone through 3 head coaches now. 3. And since 2020, if it was like a, you know, 10, 15 year span, you're like, okay, that's still not a great hit rate, but, you know, it's at least a little bit more believable. He has gone through 3 head coaches in now just over 5 years. Barely even 5 years. It's incredible. And now I want to know who wants that job. Yeah. It's got to be, you know.
Don't take it.
It's got to be like a poor David Culley who left the Ravens to be the Texans head coach. And he was one and done because that was bad money all along. But he was at the end of his coaching career. And he said, look, you only get so many shots to be a head coach. It's got to be one of those situations unless they absolutely money whip someone to come take that job. Because I do not trust Baalke to put the right players in the right positions or just to even have a good PR stunt. Like at this point, there's no respect for him. It feels kind of like Dennis Allen whenever he was with the Raiders. You hear Amy Trask talk about it on CBS Sports all the time. Like, when the Saints hired him, like, why? Nobody in the league respects him.
Okay, you brought up something interesting to me. Do we not factor in the GM enough when we're looking at... I know a lot of times both positions are open when you're hiring a new coach, but I feel like usually we're like, what's your quarterback? What's your draft pick? What's your salary cap space? We like kind of rank the desirable jobs. Are we underselling how much coaches are like, oh, yeah, I trust that guy to get the groceries.
Trust the GM to go get that. And we kind of discussed that a couple of weeks ago, the college level, Kevin. Is the college level GM now the most desirable job in all of sports? Doesn't that feel like you want to be in that role? The hiring thing that we've seen of late has been, you're hiring the coach and he requests a certain GM. And the standard on that is Shanahan and John Lynch. There are a couple of other instances where that's the case as well. But you got to know that those two guys can work together. One of the reasons that the Dolphins felt like they were doing well was because McDaniel and his GM worked really well together.
Yeah.
They should kind of be hand in hand if the head coach isn't going to be the one that's doing the shopping and the cooking at the same time. They should have lots of similar philosophies and be able to work together well. They also should be able to have discussions where they can say, this isn't good enough and we have to get better. But man, when owners are here, Kevin, and they're like, maybe they don't know the most about football, they're just hiring people they're hoping a lot of times are the right people for the job and then not giving them in my opinion, enough time to complete that job.
Which feels very much like the description of a draft pick or a quarterback,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Like maybe, I'm not saying you didn't scout it, but maybe you still think it's a little bit of a crapshoot. And did you build around?
What's the track record of this guy? You know, did you hire a first-time guy? Because, Kevin, if you're a GM, what are you good at? And if the people are like, man, that dude is... He is good at putting a roster together. That's what I need. He knows exactly what to go find me. That's what I need. I don't really need somebody to be the face of the franchise as much as I need somebody that can really go find the groceries, go find the team,
right.
put it together, and then trust their scouting staff along the way to make sure that our draft's going well.
Man, if you get the opportunity, because this is the person who pops up in my mind every time you say the groceries, is Bill Parcells. If you have never seen it, go back and watch the two Bills.
It's great.
30 for 30.
It's wonderful.
It really is. And it popped up again, and I got caught watching like another 30 minutes of it. It was just fascinating to see, like, even to this day, they still like, let's just agree to disagree on that. Couple updates from the 972. My name is Michael. I work at Broadway Vacuum. We listen to y'all.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Okay. That's absolutely the one I'm talking about. We listen to you guys every day. We do sell high-end vacuums and help fix maybe the Walmart vacuum that you bought that didn't work out.
Got hey, hold on. Can I ask a question real quick? Can you rank these for me? Just text in real quick. Oric, Shark, and Dyson. Just give me a ranking of what I'm working with there, because I feel like I have a good understanding of what I'm doing here with vacuums.
And multiple people. I work in an emergency room. You can absolutely request a steroid shot as opposed to the pills, but don't get that shot more than every 3 to 6 months. I haven't had one of these shots in years. I'm not looking to start, just the one. And then somebody said, ask for prednisone. That will help.
Lucy's taking that right
that
now.
That is the name of the pills that they gave me.
Did they give you the pack that has 7 the first day?
Yes, and then, it's 6 the first day, and it scales down to 1, and they have very specific directions, although...
Take these three in the morning.
When I read it further, on day 1, it was like, you need to take 2 this, then 1, then blah. And then it goes, if you are unable to do so, you can take all 6 at once. And I was like, the hell? Why don't we just do that? And then one more I wanted to throw out. Did you see the Giants already released their statement? Preemptively, they're like, hey, I know you're waiting to hear that we fired our GM and coach. We're putting out a statement, which is, I mean, it's good that they get to keep their job. It probably doesn't make you feel great if your owner needs to put out a statement.
Job that you did was so bad that we need to tell people out there we're not letting you go, because they're all going to start asking the questions.
Like, I imagine...
And the next question should be, why not? Like, what's the reason? Tell us why.
I imagine tonight, Corey and Gavin will put out tweets saying that I'm still employed by the fan, and they'll determine on a day-by-day basis whether or not I get to stay on the air. But for now, well, the Giants have said definitively, hey, it was tough. We're keeping our GM. We're keeping our head coach. So go worry about somebody else.
For all the people also that are working in the ERs out there, can you let me know if you say that your pain is a 10 or if you're like, hey, I'm going to tough it out, it's only a 6. Do they give you a less amount of morphine based on what your number is? Are they like, oh, your pain's a 10? We got to give you more morphine. Because I was trying to be the tough guy in the ER, and I was like, it's a 6. When it was really probably an 8.
Okay, so instead of getting better medical care, you wanted to show those people that you were tough.
They're attractive.
He had a point to make, man.
Okay, so hold on. Follow-up question. This is really...
They were very pretty
nurses.
It was
an ugly nurse. It was a male nurse. It was whatever. You'd have been like, it's an 8.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I do feel like
low. Yes, you do.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, before Kevin asks any more questions, we talk with Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnuolo next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside my co-host Alec Medford. Kevin is also here.
Promotion.
That's fair.
Whatever. Look, man, we don't know how long you're with us. And that's just the reality of Earth. All right. But on top of that, you know,
I got asked in the hallway if I was in there, if somebody was in my will.
Oh, gosh. That's from the boss, too, I bet. All right.
I specifically said somebody.
Right now, though, it is time for maybe our last talk of the season. with one Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Mickey, how are we doing today, man?
You don't have to make it so terminal.
Yeah, well.
That's because of me, Mick, because it sounds like I'm going to die at any moment.
Yeah, I was glad to see you were still on the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the earth.
I'm glad you didn't text Corey like, finally got rid of him, huh?
That was last week.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Now, I'm hoping you can set maybe expectations for people because you know how it works. Not just this year. I'm sure every fan base is like this, probably many, many years. People are like, I demand action and I demand it now. Do the Cowboys, do you think they'll put out like a statement or something saying they got a new McCarthy contract or anything like that while people are waiting to see if he keeps his job?
Well, I think in due time, you know, we will find out. I don't know that it... I'm trying to remember the last time a coach contract expired. They didn't hold a press conference to say, okay, he's gone, right? Or he's here. If the contract wasn't expiring, I think they would just say, you're going on as normal. But yeah, I think if they get to the conclusion that they're re-signing him, that they would maybe do more than just a statement.
You have maybe two statements is what I'm looking for here,
no,
Kevin.
No, I mean,
two statements.
That could be.
Look, and then when it comes to the staff, I think normal, unless it's the coordinators, I think their standard procedure has been when it gets completed, then they would release the entire list of assistants because you want to, you know, get it all together and know what everybody's job is going to be before saying that. But, you know, the list of staff is pretty long, by the way.
Yes.
You can get to all the other people that are kind of behind the scenes. So
I've seen people listed not getting their contract picked up that I didn't even know were part of the organization in the past.
Oh, so I'm sure.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty, I mean, I bet that list comes to about 20.
Oh, I could see that for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, in due time, we will be told. Let's put it that way.
Okay. And you didn't get any real feeling then from Jerry? It sounded like McCarthy was really putting himself out there of like, hey, I can do this stuff. I'm
well,
really
yeah, he did. And he also said when, you know, someone mentioned to him that, you know, he's been, you know, listed with maybe other teams. Do you want to come back here? And he said, absolutely. And then kind of went into his explanation of everything he's put into building this team, building the roster, and sure sounded like, you know, his objective was to finish the job.
When I know there's a lot to be done here, but what was the biggest roster failure this season for you?
Staying healthy?
Yeah, that's...
Not being on injured, having, seven Pro Bowl guys at some point on injured reserve and about four or five finishing the season on injured reserve. And the fact that, and I'm saying Pro Bowl from the previous season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, losing a guy like DeMarvion Overshown who could have, you know, make a run at a Pro Bowl this year the way he was playing if he had finished the season. It was just... Go look at the 14 teams in the playoffs and see if any of them got there with their starting quarterback missing 9 games.
I definitely get that point. I guess one of the arguments that, and it's not the quarterback, I can see that absolutely, but don't you think Detroit would have a pretty big argument for being pretty decimated?
But they had their quarterback.
They did.
They did.
Your quarterback can overcome a lot, right? When you... If you go back in and I'm doing this off the top of my head because I was going to save it for my column on Wednesday, but every losing season they've had since 1997, the starting quarterback did not play the entire year.
Really? For the Cowboys?
Think about it.
That is wild.
Huh. Yeah. Or just let's just go back. 2020.
Yep.
Dak missed, right?
Okay, can I pause you right there?
Yeah.
I would make the argument that healthy Dak, not healthy Dak, both 2020 and this season look like they were headed for losing seasons when he was healthy.
I think the team got better as the season went along. And I think if you had your starting quarterback in there, it might have made a difference.
Looking forward.
I mean, look how close this game was.
Yeah.
All right. And you started your third string quarterback.
That's true.
Mm. All right. The Cincinnati.
Though, to be fair, they ran their backup out there too.
Well, I sure didn't play like a backup, right? Yeah. And they had a little bit of an injury problem also, but it was still close down to the last 2-3 seconds, right? Think about it. Cincinnati, another close one that, you know, got screwed up by a block punt. You can go back to Baltimore. Now, Dak was playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were, you know, close to the 2-minute warning and had them 2nd and 9, Baltimore did, and they needed another first down. And Lamar Jackson goes for 10 yards, and it's over. But they had a couple games that were very winnable that they didn't close. And I understand, you know, you probably win some that it was close. But, you know, 7-10, and your starting quarterback played 8 games.
Yeah.
So and I understand your point, but you're dismissing the fact that the team could get better as it's moving along.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. I just viewed them as like they were 4 games out of making the playoffs. So, like, that's where I'm coming from, but I hear you.
This offseason,
I hope you
though,
can hear me. I know I'm scratchy.
This offseason, Mickey, I'm kind of looking at this feeling, though, of not only do you still have some other areas of need, but you also, because of injury, you got long time without Diggs and without Overshown. How can the Cowboys fill those voids and the other places that they need at the same time.
Yeah, assuming those guys won't be ready to go, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
And what about Lamb? Yeah. I mean, you know, that one's going to be pretty close too, although he doesn't really have to undergo surgery, so he just needed rest. But yeah, they need help at linebacker. Absolutely. You know, they probably need some more help on the offensive line. You know, the quarterback position is not settled by any means, right? You know, you're hoping you get Dak back at Dak's healthiest best, and there's no residual effect over a serious injury and surgery that he had. The cornerback position, for sure. Do you realize they started 8 different guys at cornerback?
Cornerback and defensive line is crazy. The amount of people they've had to go through this year was bananas.
And half of them, I think, had to be elevated off the practice squad. I asked Malik Hooker, I said, you realize you started 8 corners in front of you. Did you know them all? And he did. He just mentioned everybody that started at corner. And the one we forget about who was starting the season was Kalen Carson.
Yeah.
Right. And then he kind of got hurt and then he lost his confidence and then he ended up on injured reserve. But I'll guarantee you people didn't know Josh Butler, Amani Oruwariye and Andrew Booth and ending up with Troy Pride starting. Seriously. They'll understand that the cornerback position needs to get a boost there, too. And we forget about losing guys that had been playing some in the secondary with Wanye Thomas and Marquise Bell, ended up on injured reserve. So, yeah, those guys, that ended up taking a hit. So, yeah, you've got to make sure that, you know, you got to plan ahead and not just assume all these guys are going to be back. I mean, we just got done talking to DeMarvian Overshown, you know, and he's got a big old brace on that knee. And he's on these real metal-looking crutches, and, you know, he's not running anytime soon, and he understands it's probably a 9-month process.
Oh, yeah, if anybody understands that, it's him for sure.
Yeah, and that gets him to September, and that doesn't mean he's ready to play, right? And the interesting thing, so when they repaired his – get this – when they repaired his – so this is his right. So when they repaired his left knee, the ACL, they did it, created the ligament with his tendon from his right knee. Well, now when they did this one, they looked at the knee they repaired and they go, oh, that patella tendon's good. We'll take that one and put it in the right knee.
Huh.
And I said, so are you out of tendons? And he goes, yeah, pretty much so.
Oh, no.
And they have to take it from a dead body.
Oh, right. No, yeah. No.
That's what
they do.
No,
they do that. No, they do that. Yeah.
You have to sign like a waiver for that?
I'll ask my wife. She had that done twice.
They just have dead bodies at the Star just hanging around just in case.
Well, no. They don't do the procedure at the Star.
Oh, okay.
It's at the local medical facility.
Like they should be able to 3D print this.
People think their tendons are important. Don't make jokes about them.
You're right. You're very right about this.
But, that process that he's gone through. So, I think, obviously Eric Kendricks is an unrestricted free agent.
Your running back situation is like, I don't know what it is at this point because
right.
Rico was, he was really good. I liked Rico Dowdle at the end of this year.
So I looked it up. He ended up finishing 12th with 1,079 yards. No, he was tied for 12th. Guess who he was tied with?
Derrick Henry?
No.
Tony Pollard.
Oh, there you go. So
that's
good
fun.
Good replacement right there.
The cash layout for Tony Pollard this year was $8 million, and the cash layout for Rico was $1.25 million.
I accept. Can we get him back on that number?
Well, I don't think so.
All right.
Well, but, go ask the market. They'll tell you. Because, if he gets in there, maybe somebody says, wait, no, I'd like to pay that guy $3-5 million and have him as, a part of a 1-2 punch at running back. And I'm sure the Cowboys probably, got to consider that the same way. And then depending on what they do in the draft, but I don't know that it's totally necessary to use a first round pick on a running back, which everybody seems to be against, right?
And then you
look at Jamar Gibbs last night.
Man,
go back and look. I think it's Tom Pelissero.
Yes, it is.
Has a tweet out there that he was like, and this was from 2023, where he said, "Hey, Detroit was willing to pick him at 6, but they wanted to trade back and get assets." And the comments, Mickey,
it destroyed
insane.
Him.
And then now everybody's like, "Well, I guess I wasn't." Nobody will admit to being wrong about it.
No, no one admits that, right?
It's
how about those that say you don't pay a running back the second or third contract, right?
I'm still probably in that boat a little bit.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry and Saquon.
There are some exceptions.
Good, so you don't just look at that as a rule, hardcore rule that you got to follow. You got to look and see what you're getting when you do that, I think. But maybe that changes people's minds about maybe keeping a running back if he's a good one and doesn't look like they're in decline, because decline for running backs usually starts at about 28 years old.
Hey, just play your games in front of Mark Sanchez. He said yesterday that Zeke still had plenty of tread left on the tires. So,
he's an expert. He's a quarterback.
Mickey, I guess.
Thank you very much for your time, good sir.
Yes.
We will hope to just forget about this season. Hope that the players don't and they get better from it.
No, you can't forget about it. You got to build off of it, right?
That they do. I don't.
That's right.
All right, Mickey, have a great one, man.
All
looking forward
good
to
talking
to you
with
time.
You guys. There Take you care.
Hi, Mick.
See ya.
Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com here on 105.3 The Fan.
Not Mickey, Mark Sanchez. He really said that.
Why?
And I was like, what is that based on?
Coming up next, we break down one of the most consequential regular season games in NFL history. Next on The Fan.